everyone, and welcome to the debut episode of Top of the Card right here on Ad Free Shows and Ad Free Shows YouTube. I am referee Brandon Toll. Thank you guys so much for joining me on our maiden voyage of talking about all things wrestling trading cards and the wrestling trading card hobby. First of all, thank you to Conrad Thompson for allowing me the opportunity to bring my passion and my career, professional wrestling, with my hobby of trading cards, both of them mashed up together and bringing them to you right here on the Ad Free Shows platform. It's an honor and a privilege. So we're going to talk about everything within the wrestling trading card hobby. First of all, before we get there, a little background on me. I am referee Brandon Toll. I was with Impact for just about 5 years. I was a senior referee for Evolve Wrestling for 9.5 years. Spent some time in Ring of Honor, worked with companies like AAA, Progress, worked all around the world. And when I'm not in the ring and not on the road, I actually work at a sports card shop in suburban St. Louis, RBI Crew 7 in St. Peters, Missouri. So I already have a background in trading cards. I collected a little bit as a kid, collected a little bit of high school, early college, revisited it a few years ago. But in the past couple years, the sports card hobby, wrestling cards included, has seen just a phenomenal boom. So to be able to come to, whether you're a new collector or whether you're a lapsed collector, revisiting cards you may have from you were a kid, we're going to talk about all of that right here on Top of the Card. So before we can talk about anything else in future, kind of, we're going to talk about products that are out now. We're going to talk about what's going on in the hobby. We're going to talk about grading, anything and everything that would encompass what would be the wrestling trading card hobby. But before we talk about anything in the current, we also, now and in future videos, are going to pay homage to how we got to this point. And that's where we begin today. We're going to start talking about the very first wrestling trading card release here in North America, the 1982 Wrestling All-Stars Series A set. So without any further ado, let's take a look at what kicked it all off. The 1982 Wrestling All-Stars Series A set was the first produced and released domestic wrestling trading card set in existence. Now, there are many, many, many things that make this set one of the most sought-after wrestling trading card sets in the hobby. First of all, unlike most sports cards of that era, where you could go to a convenience store or a hobby shop if you were lucky enough to have one, or even your supermarket if you got sports cards from the supermarket, these cards were not distributed or sold in stores. Rather, you could only get them through a mail order option, which came from the Wrestling News magazine. So if you were able to pick one up at a supermarket, or if you were subscribed to the Wrestling News magazine, you most likely saw the advertisement that was placed in the magazine to be able to order your 1982 Wrestling All-Stars Series A trading card set. $5, and you had to send away to Mankato, Minnesota. And eventually you would get your sealed set of the 1982 Wrestling All-Stars Series A trading cards. According to PSA, in an article on their website, PSA pretty much is the number one grader for not only sports cards, but other collectibles within the collectible industry. It's estimated that there's only about 2,000 copies of the 1982 Series A that's in existence. So already you're looking at an extreme scarce rarity. And to be able to put that in perspective, when you look at cards that are distributed nowadays, most cards in terms of wide distribution, there's roughly six figures or more of each card before, not excluding any kind of parallels or autographs or anything like that, just in terms of base cards, you're looking well into six figures in terms of your wide releases. So the scarcity in terms of just the lack of them already exists in play. And I guess that was almost by design, given the fact that it wasn't released into stores and you had to do it via a mail order system. The 1982 Wrestling All-Stars Series A is a 32-card set. It is the first full-color photograph trading card, which included a photograph of the wrestler on the front, along with their name. And then on the back, it had a name, nickname, vital statistics, and then a small little paragraph about the wrestler, as well if it included maybe some potential notable accomplishments, things of that nature. Now, this set was not exclusive to any one territory at the time, as we were still right at the tail end of the territory era of professional wrestling. So it was basically a who's who in professional wrestling, with card number one being Andre the Giant. Others included in the set include Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Ted DiBiase, and others. The 1982 Wrestling All-Stars Series A set is one of the most highly sought-after collectible sets among wrestling fans and wrestling hobby enthusiasts, and the set is known for the colorful designs and the images of some of the most legendary wrestlers and Hall of Famers of all time. Now, when you're looking at the entire set as a whole, from rarity, the top three cards, should be no surprise when I say this, but the top three cards that are the most sought after from the 1982 Wrestling All-Stars Series A set are Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, and Ric Flair. Now, having said that, because they were not produced at scale or produced like other cards, Tops or Upper Deck or things of that nature, they were almost an independent set, I guess you could say, with it. When you're looking at the condition and quality of them, and we'll take a look at a 1982 Series A set here in a moment, but it is very inconsistent, I guess the best way I could put it, in terms of the cards themselves. And we'll go over that when we take a look at them. So without any further ado, let's take a look, as I actually have a full and complete set of the 1982 Wrestling All-Stars Series A trading set. And here we have it. As I said a moment ago, an entire 36-card original set of the 1982 Wrestling All-Stars Series A. And what you'll notice first thing up top, as I said, full color. Every one of them full color. And we'll take a look. You'll get the little blurb on the back. We'll go over that here in just a second. But let's go through. I want to go over a little bit of the backstory. First of all, I'm wearing gloves. Even though that these cards are in protective top loaders, they're little plastic top loaders, I'm still going to wear gloves with it just because I want to take anything out. I don't want to harm these. I don't want to do anything to them. These were being loaned to me by a customer from the shop. His name is Steve Orff. And let's go into the backstory about how I found out that Steve had a whole set of this. So Steve is one of my regulars at the shop. He comes in almost every weekend, Saturday or Sunday, without fail. I'm there on the weekends when I'm not on the road. And Steve was really intrigued the fact that he had heard that I was doing professional wrestling. I was a referee. And so we got to talking about it a little bit. We got to talk about wrestling trading cards because he watched back in the 80s and a little bit in the 70s, what he could through during the territory era and even after that. And I mentioned that I was trying to go after, start collecting some of the 1982 Wrestling All-Stars Series A cards. And he's like, what do they look like? So I pulled up a photo and showed him just, one. I think it was Andre actually is what I showed him. And then he stopped and said to me, he's like, Brandon, I think I may have an entire set of those at home. And my jaw literally hit the floor. I asked him, I was like, can you bring him in so I can see him? He was like, absolutely. So a week or two later, comes into the shop, coming to get the cards that he wanted to get. And he literally brought me the entire set. And I was just absolutely flabbergasted because up to that point, I had never even seen a full set of the 82 Wrestling All-Stars Series A. And then he told me probably one of the most interesting stories. Well, interesting in terms of I couldn't believe how he got them. So he said that he's had these for probably just a little over 10 years. And he went to a little show that we have, a little sports card show here in suburban St. Louis that he went to. And he literally found the entire set from a dealer. They were all wrapped up together with one rubber band. And he just couldn't believe it. He thought they were cool and he got them. And then he asked me, he's like, Brandon, you know how much I paid for these? And I said, how much? And he said, I paid $50 for the entire 36 card set. And I was literally flabbergasted because an entire 36 card set of this, you're not going to get for $50. Now we'll talk about how much these are worth here in a little bit, or potentially could be worth. So one thing I will say though, is because this is an independent set, this was not mass produced at scale, like most sports cards of that time and now are. Condition wise, it's going to vary, obviously, especially if they're not, in the original sealed packaging. But finding ones that, from a grading standpoint, we'll talk about grading in future videos, finding ones that are going to be perfect in terms of like centering on the design and things like that are insanely hard to find. So from a rarity standpoint, like we talked about earlier, finding an entire set with a supply that is already limited and on top of that, a set without any imperfections is almost impossible. And I would say, you know, I will say it is impossible, but I really want to say almost, because you never know. Someone may have a set of these somewhere, just hidden and that nobody knows about. So I'll say almost, just because I would be 99.9% sure with that statement, but I can't be 100% sure. So let's take a look at these. So color photo, as we said, if you flip it over and look at the back, there's the number. So this being Andre, Grenoble, France, and it's just got a small paragraph on him. So now this was in a time, obviously, before the big expansion from Vince McMahon and the what became the WWF. So it talks a lot about what he did, you know, outside of there. And then obviously at the bottom, it talks about just a little blurb, Series A of 36 cards, talks about who it came from, and even has a little P.O. box down there in Mankato, Minnesota, which is where you had to mail off your order form from the magazine and $5 to be able to get a set of these. So Andre at number one, and it's ironic, Hulk Hogan at number two. And it's ironic considering obviously WrestleMania 3 with Hogan and Andre, but that had never happened yet. So I find it amusing personally, the fact that they are 1-2 in this set, and literally they, you know, obviously number one and number two, especially, you know, with the feud with them and what all culminated at WrestleMania 3 in 87 at the Silverdome. So same thing. You know, and we'll talk about condition. You can see there's a little bit of yellowing down here. We'll talk about condition and stuff like that in future videos when we go in, when we talk about actually grading and looking for conditions of cards. When you're looking at vintage cards, there's a saying with it is you're buying the card, not the grade. Because at that point, you know, it with just limited scarcity, I mean, condition's not going to be something you're going to be able to be too picky about when finding these. So Hogan number two. As I said earlier, Mil Máscaras at number three, and I said these are not one territory specific. It's not like nowadays where Panini America owns the licensing rights for WWE trading cards, Upper Deck owns the licensing rights for AEW trading cards, and all the independent companies around the country can do their own, basically. So this is basically, I would deem to say this is to call this an independent set because of the fact that this is not specific to one territory. This covers, you know, WWWF. This covers the NWA and Jim Crockett Promotions. This covers the AWA. Obviously, Mil Máscaras being from Mexico as well. It is not specific to one specific territory, basically. So, and this one's very, you know, it's, I don't want to say it's a, these are bland paragraphs, but obviously the Man of a Thousand Masks, you know, just very basic info with these. So, very young Ted DiBiase, pre-$1 million man. So this, I'm assuming this photo, this would have been taken from Mid-South, actually. Well, there you go. Georgia Championship TV as well. So we'll just read this. A second generation wrestler. Both of his parents, Father Mike and Mother Helen Hild, were top-ranked stars in their day. Ted is another young grappler familiar to fans from coast to coast from his many appearances on Georgia Championship Wrestling, which is seen weekly on cable TV. For the last few years, DiBiase has always been ranked among the top contenders for the NWA title. So I like how the fact that they are recognized, and obviously with Georgia Championship, so this would have even been pre-Jim Crockett, Georgia Championship recognized, and obviously the NWA and the NWA World Heavyweight title, him as a contender for it. So JYD at number five. Once again, New Orleans Superdome. So talked about with the Freebirds. So definitely a reference to him in Mid-South along with this. So a little background about him being, he was a football player. So you can kind of see it's a very general paragraph to go with this. So Dusty the road, the American dream. Dusty here in number six. So here you go. This is what I like about this. The big man from Texas is the current holder of the NWA heavyweight title, an honor that he has held one other time in the past. So there you go. So at the time this was created, Dusty was the NWA World Heavyweight Champion. Love it, man. Just love it. It's almost, this is like a capture, or just a picture in time, basically. Just a frozen moment in time with this. So Jack Briscoe in at number seven, once again, talks about him being a former NWA World Heavyweight Champion. Collegiate honors. Harley Race. And at number eight, The only man to have tied Luthes' record of holding the NBA World Heavyweight title on six different occasions. So this was pre him winning it back and then dropping it to Flair in 83 at Starrcade 83. So talks about how he faced WWF Kingpins Bob Backlund and superstar Billy Graham. So they did go with WWF for this one. Dory Funk Jr. at number nine. A true wrestler's wrestler. Former holder of the NBA World title. So you can, you know, a lot of references to where they have, you know, where they have worked or where they may be working currently with this. Popular in Japan. And of course, Terry at number 10. You know, he talking about him being a former NWA champion. Talking about him too being a big, big attraction in Japan. Nick Bockwinkel at number 11. There you go. He is the current holder of the very coveted AWA World's Heavyweight title, managed by Bobby the Brain Heenan. Love it. Once again, just a snapshot in time. Bob Backlund at number 12, the current holder of the WWF Championship. So there you go. That literally will tell you where we are in time with this set, basically the fact that it has featured all three major world champions. The NWA World Heavyweight Champion, the AWA World Heavyweight Champion and Nick Bockwinkel, and the current WWF Champion and Bob Backlund. So fantastic. Bruno at number 13 talks about MSG, Shea Stadium. You know, very much hitting the highlights with this. But Pedro at number 14, and these are pretty much, these are all Hall of Famers, you know, for the most part with this. So, you know, talks about the heavyweight title, the Intercontinental title, tag team championship with Bob Backlund. Don Morocco at number 15, magnificent one, the current holder of the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship. Once again, just giving you that snapshot in time. It says, which he won from Pedro Morales under controversial circumstances in Philadelphia. So keeping in lockstep with the storyline of the time. Here we go. Moving on once again. Not specific to one territory. Superstar Bill Dundee. You know, he's a ranking contender to both the AWA and CWA Heavyweight Championships. Steve Olsonowski. So one of the most popular of the young wrestlers, often seen on cable, originating out of Atlanta, Georgia. Okay, that just gives you basically a, tells you exactly where he's working at the time. But, you know, protege of former NWA champion Vern Gagne. So Wildfire Tommy Rich at number 18. One of the youngest men to ever win the coveted NWA World Heavyweight Championship, beating Harley for it. Angelo Mosca. Pin number 19, once again, talks about his background prior to wrestling, and being the Canadian heavyweight champion. Bruiser Brody. There's talks about Brody and what he was doing at the time. To my knowledge, this may be the actually only official trading card of Brody actually ever produced. So, because obviously he never went to, he never was there long enough for, to try to go to work for the WWF on a full-time basis, obviously, in the national expansion and everything like that. But after this set, we wouldn't have another set for 3 years until the 1985 WWF top set. So, to my knowledge, this is the only actual, like, Brody card out there. And because these are the first American cards released, a lot of classification within the wrestling card hobby, or at least hobby enthusiasts, and this is one of the reasons why it makes it so valuable, is you pretty much can call these rookie cards of all of them, because it's the first card that's produced of everyone in this set. Fabulous Moolah at number 21. There you go. The current recognized lady wrestling champion of the world. Wahoo McDaniel, number 22. Talks about being a professional football player, leading contender in the NWA and the AWA. Billy Robinson, number 23. The British heavyweight champion. So they made sure, they did very, very well to try to make sure they were covering at least all the major world champions, you know, or the major champions of the time. Current holder of the CWA heavyweight championship. Ivan Koloff, the Russian Bear. Talking about beating Bruno for the WWF title. So just once again, just little blurbs on everybody. Mr. USA, Tony Atlas. There you go. Talks about, you know, being in the WWF, the NWA, and the AWA, you know, as guys were moving around the territories at the time. The first ever Intercontinental Champion, Pat Patterson, here at number 26. Once again, talks about Ray the Crippler Stevens, you know, when they were tag team champions, when they held the AWA World Tag Titles, you know, do a good job on giving these. And here we go. The Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Goes, you know, once again, simple blurbs. I mean, I don't want to keep repeating myself with it, but, you know, coming close to winning the NWA title on a number of occasions. So this is pre-winning any NWA World Heavyweight Championship for him. So Ivan Putski, number 28, the Polish Hammer. You know, once again, same a little bit. Dick Murdoch, at number 29. You know, talks about, you know, being the Outlaws tag team with Dusty. The Crusher at number 30. Obviously, a lot of AWA there with him. Ken Patera at 31. Goes into a lot of his Olympic background, things of that nature, obviously, with the mention of Vern. The Wildcat, sorry, the Big Cat, Ernie Ladd, number 32. You know, talks about being at MSG and the Superdome. There no affiliations. That's one thing I love about this, is no affiliation with this. So Dick the Bruiser at 33. There you go. He was part of the famous riot in Madison Square Garden with Dr. Jerry Graham versus Antonio Rocca and Ed Carpentier. Phenomenal. And the King, Jerry Lawler at 34. Obviously, every title in the CWA, obviously the King of Memphis. So he's also a radio personality, commercial artist, and a recording star. It's fantastic the fact that they went and mentioned obviously what he did that outside of pro wrestling. Cowboy Bill Watts at 35. Talks about he's no longer wrestling at the time. You know, talked about he competed in all three major alliances. So you're looking at, you know, the National Wrestling Alliance, the AWA, and the WWF. And then lastly, card number 36, the Destroyer, Dick Byers. It's a little blurb on him in the back. So the entire 36 card Wrestling All-Star set. So rare enough on its face, but when you're looking in terms of what are the rarest cards from this set, or what stands out, at least what are collectors, you know, clamoring for in terms of this set, it comes down to three, and it is not even close after that. It is these three: Hulk, Andre, and Ric Flair, all three. So now, talking about rarity, talking about value now. So let's dig into this real quick. So when you're looking at pricing of cards, and once again, this will be stuff we'll cover in future content. So I'm just going to give you, you know, what I've seen currently. And I did a little research on this as well. eBay is basically what I recommend, is basically giving you real-time pricing. You can see what stuff sold in real time. So the prices I'm getting are coming from what's called Terapeak, which is eBay's proprietary search engine. You have to have a business account to have it. I do. So coming straight out of this, and these are ones that have been paid for as well. So for Andre, recent sales, ungraded, not graded by PSA or Beckett or anything like that. So literally in this form right here, you're looking anywhere from $500 to $800 for an Andre the Giant card. When you're talking about graded cards, now all the graded references I'm going to give you are PSA. There are some out there from Beckett. Once again, we'll cover that in future content. So I'm just going to be using PSA just as for reference point for this. So PSA, and the little blurb I'll say about it is this: when you get grading, it goes on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 means the card is absolutely just beat to you know what. 10 being pristine, like immaculate, pristine, perfect condition. So to give you a little reference point for the numbers I'm going to give you. For Andre, a PSA 5 recently, anywhere between $650 to $700. A PSA 6 at $900. So you can see the incremental difference as you go up in number with it. So, and it's not the same increment for each one. So giving you Hulk as the example as well. Ungraded, Hulk, $600 to $1,000 in recent sales in terms of valuation, in terms of what they have sold for. And here's where you start getting into really steep numbers. A PSA 2 sold for $643 recently, and a PSA 6 sold for $2,250. So you really start seeing the jump, especially when you get the card actually professionally graded to show what is the condition of this, or what do they feel and, you know, the condition of this is based on the parameters they look at for grading. And once again, that's stuff for future content. For Flair, $400 to $900 ungraded in recent sales. PSA 3 at $700. There was an auto only option, which means the card was actually sent to PSA for grading, and they didn't grade the card, but they did authenticate the autograph on the card that it was actually Rick that it had signed it, and that sold auto authenticated only at $750. A PSA 8, and this is the most mind blowing of it all. PSA 8 of this sold for $3,000 back on January the 20th. Other ones you're looking like, you know, Backlund as a PSA 9 sold for $500 in February. So you can see outside of these three, just the absolute, you know, the drop off in price. So rarity and the fact that these three are the most popular out of the set. So when you're looking most others and ungraded, anywhere between $30 to $75, maybe $100 on the high end based on how many are out there or how many have sold recently. PSA grading, $150 to $200. Obviously, a PSA 9 was $500 for Backlund. You kind of see how Backlund fits into that. Backlund obviously being, you know, a former WWF champion, things of that nature. So autograph versions do exist of this. Like I said, like there was the auto-only version of Rick. So they were not signed. It's not like today in sets you get today where you may open a box and you're guaranteed either like one or two autographs or autograph cards in a box. That didn't exist with this set. So anything you'll see autographed nowadays, people have actually gone out and got autographed, whether it was either at a signing. I know a couple of years ago when the National, the biggest card show in the country in Chicago, I know both Hulk and Rick were there and you could get stuff signed. I know Hogan is charging $500 per card of these 82. These 1982 Series A cards, he's charging $500 per card to sign them. Like, he has realized that there's value in them, so he is charging his own on it. So, you know, it just depends on, are you able to catch him at a sports show, or, you know, Hogan does signings at his shop in Florida, things of that nature. But there were no autographs on the original set. Anything you see after has all been obtained afterwards. And I forget where I saw it, but I know I've seen one card of Andre's that's been autographed, and it was authenticated and verified with it. Andre's, just what rarity is at an absolute premium with it. So there you go, guys. That gives you basically, you know, a good overview of the 1982 Wrestling All-Stars Series A set. I hope you guys have enjoyed this. This take a look at, you know, where we got started with this, and basically at this as a jumping off point into where we're going in future videos. Like I said, we're going to cover new products. We're going to cover new releases. We're going to cover things that aren't, you know, product releases. We're going to cover, you know, basically like intro to grading. We're going to look at grading. We're going to look at condition. What are the grading cards, the grading companies look at? All things inclusive about, you know, the wrestling trading card hobby, whether this is your first time looking or seeing any kind of like wrestling cards like this, or if you're a lapsed collector and you know, this may spur you to come back to it. You know, we'll make sure, you know, give you everything you need to know, basically, if you're wanting to step in or make a foray into the wrestling trading card hobby. So thank you guys so much for the time. I greatly appreciate it here. Make sure if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you like the button, hit the thumbs up button on it. It does help with the YouTube algorithm with visibility. Subscribe to the channel if you aren't here on ad-free shows here on YouTube. Throw in a comment. Tell me what you think. What do you think? What do you think? What's your favorite card? What do you like about this? You know, what don't you like about these cards? You know, if you have an interesting blurb, maybe you saw some of these or you had some of these as a kid and don't anymore. Throw a comment down in there and make sure you hit that notification icon there, the notification bell, so you do not miss an episode of Top of the Card on the ad-free YouTube channel, guys. So thank you so much for joining me here on this debut episode. I hope you've enjoyed it. And I will see you guys on the next one. As I like to say from my other channel, round a third and heading for home. We'll see you on the next one.